Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour black hole block party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, from the outhouse to the penthouse, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. How are we doing, everybody? Good morning. We have made it. Kind of. The day before Thanksgiving. Perhaps this is a day for many of you to be working for your final day of the week. Perhaps this is your jumping off point for a 4-day much needed vacation. Perhaps this is the day that you're preparing for family to come over, or big dinner, or travel plans, or perhaps doing some shopping. Who knows? But we are here to shepherd you through this, not only because we have Dave Shepherd as our producer today. It's a big day here aboard the mothership, the final day before a holiday that is consumed only by football and food, which sounds right up our alley. And so we try to put on a smile and jolly our way right through today's show over the next 4 hours. And you guys are in for a treat. Coming up this morning here on the show, our friend Tyler Dunn, senior NFL writer. Tyler has built a reputation as perhaps the best long-form features writer in the NFL. He does amazing deep dives into the personalities and stories behind the players. Well, he's launching a brand new vertical called Go Long. So we're going to talk to him about this very cool endeavor and about some of his projects and some of the players and coaches, the stories of the NFL that he has loved telling the most and has found the most fascinating. Ty is going to join us coming up here in hour number two. Tyler also has been behind the scenes and a beat reporter for both the Packers and the Bills over the course of his career, so he knows very well those two organizations, who just happen to be two of the most interesting organizations this year in 2020. Also, in hour number four, this is kind of perfect. We here on the DA show sometimes tend to delve into sniping and backbiting, making fun of one another, inner rivalries, things like this. I mean, it's all in good fun, but, you know, sometimes we can tend to slide into some friendly fire here on the DA show. Well, our guest in hour number four is just so above that. She is always so positive. She's always so friendly. She's always just seemingly a little too friendly where you're like, yeah, but what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Amy Trask is going to join us here on the show. Trask has been a longtime executive in the NFL with the Raiders organization, and now she's an analyst for CBS Sports. We'll talk NFL with Amy Trask coming up here in hour number four. Also coming up this morning on the show, the first college football playoff committee rankings. They came out last night. We'll discuss whether they got them right or wrong. This weekend, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fight. Yes, you heard me correctly. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. have a fight. Are we interested in that? We'll talk about the semifinalists of the NFL Hall of Fame class, which was announced yesterday. Some amazing names like Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson, amongst others. We'll go inside Thanksgiving and bring you what we don't like about Turkey Day. Yeah, you know, today's a day where everybody's going to be like, oh, this is what I'm so thankful for. Oh, I'm so thankful for this, blah, 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 blah. We here on the DA show like to turn that on its head. And we are going to delve into the things that we dislike most about tomorrow. You see? Smiles. And also, last night, on a serious note, if you were able to catch the special on Little Mo on NFL Network, it was part of the TV show NFL 360, hosted by Melissa Stark. Man, was that good. Man. Not a dry eye in the Amanda Lara household last night watching that. What a artful, beautiful, spiritual storytelling it was. If I can find that online, I'll tweet that out for you guys because I think it is so powerful, especially this time of year. It is just so powerful. They did such an amazing job. But I'm going to play a chunk of it, my favorite chunk of it, coming up for you in hour number four, to lead off hour number four. The series was called, or the piece was called, Gift of Gabba. And the only thing that I didn't like about this piece yesterday about my friend Little Mo was, damn it, I should have thought of that headline. It made me laugh. It made me cry a lot. And it made me really, really thankful. So it did its job, and Little Mo is smiling from above, I'm sure. So all of that coming up on this morning show. Wow, we are racked. We have a lot to get to, much like tomorrow's dinner. We gotta sift through a lot here. But we begin with Tom Brady. Now on Monday night, we had Brady losing in prime time yet again, this time to the Los Angeles Rams. And after the game, Brady hiking into the locker room as we saw shots of Jared Goff, kind of mingling and buying time at midfield, shaking hands with the rest of the Buccaneers, but not Tom Brady. So we talked about this yesterday morning on the show, but boy, yesterday after we were off the air, oh, the talking head shows, they sank their teeth right into the fangs, right into the robust tuchus of Tom Brady. Bad sportsmanship. He thinks he's above it. Sore loser. On and on and on it went. Everybody got their chunk of flesh of Tom Brady yesterday, which to me, so I'm going to address whether I think it was a bad move for him not to shake hands. But let me even say something before that. I find this more fascinating because I'm not really in the mood to get mad at Tom Brady, but I will address what I thought about it. What I am interested in is how Brady's narrative could be completely flipping in this season with the Buccaneers. You know, when he is in New England, his inner monologue is, I got to get out of here. I'm chained up by the Patriots. Bill is beating on me. I've got no weapons. This isn't fun anymore. Now, while he's in New England, he is an absolute hero. He has a spotless resume. You can't really pick it apart in any way, shape, or form. And his reputation is pristine. He's a great competitor. He's a great sportsman. He's a great leader. He's a great winner. He's great at his age. He's great at any age. He's an overachiever, drafted in the sixth round. I mean, you couldn't really find anything that he was not held up on a pedestal for. Great dresser. He's handsome. And this year, so much of it has changed. Brady is openly frustrated on the sideline. He's not keeping his cool. Brady might be bickering with his head coach publicly. Brady wants Antonio Brown on the team, and so what is he doing there? Why is he going down that road? Why is he putting that kind of maniac in play for his franchise? Brady is not playing well in prime time. He's not playing well in the clutch. He's not playing well against good defenses. And, oh boy, Tom Brady is not shaking the hand of guys that beat him. And I think he thought that this year or years in Tampa Bay would only burnish, polish his resume and his reputation even more, put him above the fray even more. He'll do more winning in another place. It'll be fun. He'll bring his friends. And boy, it hasn't happened that way. Wouldn't it be interesting if the storyline or the narrative that comes out of Tampa Bay starts to dull all the sheen on Tom Brady's career, when he could have walked away years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 1 year ago, and had everything intact, but he had to keep playing. He had to keep going. He had to keep competing. He had to keep winning, maybe because he's scared of what lies on the other side of not playing football. It's so interesting that this was supposed to be such fun and games, and instead it seems to be the most pressing season of Tom Brady's career. But does Tom Brady deserve all of the heat he's getting for avoiding Jared Goff? It is where we begin your cold open.
Sometimes I've run off the field, sometimes I haven't. Sometimes if I have a personal relationship, like I have with Drew and Justin and Aaron over the years, I don't know. I don't think it's anything in particular other than I have great admiration for Nick, and I think he's a hell of a player. They're off to a great start.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So that was Brady when he didn't shake the hand of Nick Foles, suggesting that because he didn't have a relationship with Nick Foles, that's why he didn't wait to shake his hand. And then last night, or Monday night, he did the same thing with Jared Goff. And yet, he's loitered and lingered around to shake the hands and talk to guys he didn't have a relationship with, like rookie Justin Herbert this year, after he beat him. Do I think that he deserves heat for what happened Monday night? Yes, absolutely. Yes, we talked about this yesterday. Tom Brady is a really bad loser unless he puts on his pretty face. And he has put on his pretty face for a long time, and I admire that. It is hard to put on the pretty face after you lose. But after losses in the Super Bowl, he never sulked like Cam Newton. He has never seemed to be bitter or on edge like Aaron Rodgers. He has never tried to grab his crotch or dance around the field like Baker Mayfield. He's been a good winner and a good loser for his entire career, but not shaking the hand this season of Nick Foles and Jared Goff is obviously being a sore loser. It's obviously about losing those games, because you know if Tom Brady won those games, he would be out there shaking hands. You know it. It's just about being salty, and Brady can be a baby. Let's face it, I don't think, and this is the thing that I think people kind of want to jump down Brady's neck, and you might think I'm in the same camp because I hate the Patriots so much, but I'm really not. This is the thing about hyper-competitive people. They don't lose well. They have to force themselves to lose well because that's how they're wired. Michael Jordan is not a good loser. I mean, yes, he shook the hand of the Detroit Pistons, but it's not like when he lost games, he's some happy, shiny fellow. He knew what was the right thing to do, but it wasn't like he was a, quote, good loser. He's a terrible loser. Kobe Bryant, an absolutely awful loser, and sometimes was a bad winner, too. Tom Brady's cut from the same cloth. These guys aren't great losers. So, yes, Monday night is, it's just a part of how he's wired. Hyper-competitive, demands huge expectations, expects big things, then he loses, and he's bitter about it, and he's salty, and is in his own little feelings. Yes, that's who he is, and he deserves criticism for it. Absolutely. Is it the end of the world? No. Jared Goff's a big boy. You know, Nick Foles is a big boy. I think they'll sleep okay at night knowing that Tom Brady didn't shake their hands. Tom Brady's not a great loser. He has put on a good face a number of times to make us think that he's fine in those spots, but he's really not that fine. We're seeing that this year. I think what's happening this year is that things are just not as easy as they've always been with the Patriots. You know, and yes, Brady was pushed by Belichick, but look, he resided over 20 years as lord of a kingdom where every single year they won the division. Every single year they won the AFC East and more often than not had a bye. And this year, neither one's going to happen. He ain't winning the NFC South, the Saints are, and he ain't going to have a bye. He's going to play wild card weekend. And his skills are eroding. He can't throw downfield. I mean, the guy was 1 of 9 on passes over 15 yards on Monday night. You think that'll shake you? I mean, Brady's seeing the end. He's seeing the end of his effectiveness, and he is seeing the end of this charmed life of rolling through the playoffs with buys in home games and home field advantage. And so when he loses these games, it's a wake-up, like, holy crap, this is really hard and I hate it. You know? I mean, it's just, and he's not a great loser because none of these guys are great losers when they're wired that way. Why would you keep playing at 43? You've won everything. You have to be a type of competitive maniac to keep playing. So I guess my point is, does he deserve heat? Yes. Was it a bad play by him? Yes. Is it surprising? No. And this is, I mean, we're watching in real time the end of a legend. And the end of a legend's status, he does not go quietly to the night. And I wish he would shake these guys' hands, and I wish that he would show good sportsmanship, and I wish that he wouldn't lie when he doesn't remember that it was fourth down when he loses a game. But this is a man with an enormous ego built over 20 years of being called one of the greats, and then most recently, the greatest of all time. Why does Muhammad Ali, why did he fight into his 40s? They do not go quietly, and it is not pretty, and it is not going to be pretty for Tom Brady, and it is not pretty currently. Here's your phone number if you want to jump in, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Bogues, were you surprised at all that yesterday there were so many media members and fans willing to take out the hatchet on Brady? Because he has become a bit of an untouchable, at least from the standpoint of legacy, GOAT status, and sportsmanship. I mean, there's not really a lot you can pick apart there. But yesterday, boy, people really were taking their swings at Brady.
Yeah, even I wrote a Sports Minute about it. I don't think I took a full swing at TB12, but I mean, I think he deserves it. But yes, to answer your question, I'm surprised that so many people felt free to do it because we did basically live two decades of Brady being perfect and untouchable, and oh, you're just being a petty non-Patriot fan. So the amount of people and the anger level that came out yesterday was a little bit surprising, but again, I think it's a fair conversation. I don't understand, and my problem would be because we just lived all of these years of everything going their way, the first time that things aren't smooth sailing, that he's going to pout and stomp off the field is just really not a good look for somebody who should be above all that stuff.
I totally agree. And it would be nice if this year Tom Brady was more forgiving and more diplomatic. It would be great if after all of these losses, he's really kind of thankful for this opportunity and gracious in defeat, but he's getting less so. So I think that's the most disappointing. This is a chance for him to be this unbelievable elder statesman, you know, in the winter of his career, and he's kind of going the opposite way. But I think you're like me. This is not a misinterpretation. Tom Brady was salty about losing, and that's why he didn't shake the hand of Jared Goff and Nick Foles. It wasn't because he didn't have a relationship with those guys.
No, and listen, a lot of these conversations are the other one, right? Like, we complain about guys not caring enough and being too buddy-buddy and stop the pregame handshakes. True. And stop trading jerseys. So, like, there's a little bit, I don't want to be hypocritical here, but like, sportsmanship still matters. And I'm sure someone is going to go back because they're crazy and log like every post-Patriot game scenario and see where Brady actually did all these handshakes or not. But just think of how many guys, how many other quarterbacks played a bad game, had their seasons end, looked bad trying to beat Brady, but still trudged across the field, slapped him on the shoulder pads. They talked, he whispered in their ear, and they went their separate ways. Now the tables are turned, and not that Jared Goff needs to have a post-game chat with Tom Brady, but go across the field like every other quarterback basically. I mean, every game ends with that shot of the head coaches coming together and the quarterbacks coming together, or a storyline, you see, you know, a guy against his old team, whatever it may be. But those things happen all of the time. And now the two most disappointing, or two of the three most disappointing losses of their season, he's just trudging off the field heartbroken. Go shake somebody's hand. It's really not that hard.
I think that's a really great point that you just brought up. And that is that this Tom Brady move deserves criticism because for 18, 19 years, there's been crushing defeats handed out by Tom Brady to the opposing quarterback, and all of them forced themselves to go congratulate Tom Brady after he ripped their hearts out. AFC championship games, Super Bowls, divisional round opponents, winning the division, big Sunday night games. I mean, he has done this to everybody for 20 years, and they forced themselves to swallow their pride, to go across the field and shake Brady and Belichick's hands, even when they probably wondered, are the Patriots cheating? They just came off of a scandal. Yeah. They just got punished. They've got this reputation. All of these guys have done it to Brady. Brady needs to reciprocate right now. So he deserves the heat. No question about it. We're off and running here on the DA Show. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. It is sound check time. And in terms of sound check, what do we got cooking coming up here on the show? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Coming up here on the show, in terms of the best audio of the day, how about Jerry Jones discussing what lies aware and awaiting his Cowboys team tomorrow in unbelievable twist of fate on Thanksgiving? DA,
I CBS did hear
Sports.
Bells.
Yes, we did hear bells. It was like circumcising a mosquito. It's going to come up next, right alongside your gravy boat. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So we start with Jerry Jones, as tomorrow the dreadful Cowboys and the miserable Washington football team will play for first place in the NFC East. Here's Jerry.
We just need to win a football game, and it is down to that single-mindedness. Get out here and win your possession, and let's get the game, and good things could happen for us this year. We're getting better. The key thing is we're getting better every snap. And that'll happen to you with a young team, and certainly this team's got a lot of youth on it.
Look, I've done the math. I've crunched the numbers. I've run it through my supercomputer inside my head. And look, here's the deal. The Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. Yep, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, which on the one hand, you're like, oh, God, that sounds terrible to reward Jerry Jones after all of this. But on the other hand, you're like, well, it does give us the potential for Andy Dalton, Mike McCarthy comedy in the playoffs, does it not? It does give us the potential for Mike McCarthy smashing watermelons like Gallagher right before a wild card game against the Buccaneers. Woohoo!
We're getting better.
Here's how it's going to shake out, guys. Tomorrow, the Cowboys are going to win. They're going to be at home. They're going to win this game. Washington is going to lose. The Cowboys are going to lose in Baltimore, but they will beat the Bengals in Cincinnati 3 weeks from now. Bengals, of course, without Joe Burrow. The Niners are going to come into Dallas. I think the Cowboys win that game, but they don't have to win that game. They have to beat the Eagles in week 15. They will lose to the Giants at the Meadowlands in week 17. If they beat the Niners, they're going to be 7-9. If they lose to the Niners, they'll be 6-10. I don't think any other team's getting a 6-10. I don't think Washington's getting a 6-10, and I can tell you this about Philadelphia. There ain't no way they're getting a 6-10. Look at their next four games. Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Cardinals. Woof. They'll lose the next four. Then they're in Dallas in week 16. I think they lose that one. Then they've got Washington at home in week 17. They'll win that one. But the Eagles are likely to be a four-win team. The Giants, they'll beat the Bengals coming up. They'll lose in Seattle. They'll lose at home to the Cardinals. I think they'll lose to the Cleveland Browns. They do get them at home. They'll lose in Baltimore and perhaps beat Dallas at home of the Meadowlands week 17. I think that puts them at 5-11.
Go Big Blue!
The flip, the possibility here is that the Giants beat Cleveland and the Cowboys lose to the Niners, which puts them both at 6-10, which would mean that week 17, Cowboys at Giants would decide the division, and that does not surprise me if that ends up happening here. But either way, Cowboys are going to have a win and in situation in week 17. They might already wrap it up before then because the schedule breaks their way that way. Supercomputer says so.
Can I take a tentative theoretical day off the morning after a Giants Cowboys play-in game, assuming the Giants don't win? I don't know that I could handle Sean that next morning.
You think that his meltdown will be even? If the Giants win or the Giants lose, you don't want to have that.
It actually doesn't matter because he's going to be so smug Thursday and Friday going into a game like that. And then if they were to lose that next Monday morning, maybe Tuesday as well, he'd be annoyingly inconsolable. And maybe that's not how I want to begin 2021.
Yeah, because there will definitely be a bad turnover by Daniel Jones, a questionable play call by Jason Garrett. And then on Monday, he's going to be like, if this didn't go, if this went our way, if this didn't happen, we could have went to the wild card round. I could see us beating the Buccaneers at home. This could happen. We got the pass rush going on. We're playing better right now. And we could have been in the NFC Championship game.
Catch the ball. I can't do it anymore.
Just can't do it. I put all my hope and dreams into this win and in game on week 17. And they didn't come through for me.
You're up 11 points. 5 minutes left. Catch the ball.
Catch the ball. Here is Bruce Arians on Tom Brady lacking confidence in throwing downfield, just 1 of 9 on throws over 15 yards with 2 picks on Monday night.
I don't think it's a confidence problem whatsoever. It's just still it's not lack of trust. It's just lack of continuity within the offense of the whole picture.
Yeah, look, this is the situation. You don't have to be some type of football savant to realize this. Tom Brady's arm strength has deteriorated in recent years. Obviously, he's 43 years old. Tom Brady also has never liked being hit, what quarterback does. When he's being hit and he lacks the arm strength to go downfield and he does not have the same relationship with these guys as he had with the Edelmans of the world, the Amendolas of the world, and a Gronk who's fully healthy 100%, he doesn't have his security blankets, his binkies, and his nightlights on the football field. And so right now, yes, when the Rams are putting bodies around him, when the Bears are putting bodies around him, when the Saints are pass rushing well, he's skittish, he's scattershot, he lacks the confidence to go downfield, so he's dinking and dunking his way through drives. And I got to tell you, it's not far off from what we had in New England the last couple of years as his play, also his arm strength deteriorated. It was just that the timing was way better and the confidence was way better because he knew who he was throwing to and where they were going to be. They had mastered that. He didn't have that right now. And so, look, even little outlet passes to his running backs like Leonard Fournette, etc., are being dropped or thrown at their feet versus a guy like James White that catches everything. Yeah, of course he's lacking confidence. Of course, he's 43 years old. And he's has a pass rush in his face. You think he's comfortable? And finally, here's Dabo Swinney, who cannot help himself but continue to take shots at the Florida State Administration for not having a game played on Saturday.
All we can do is follow the guidelines like we've done. We've followed every guideline you can have. So, I just coach the team. I don't come up with the guidelines. We just follow what's been put in place. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Y'all don't listen. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. I said it should be a forfeit. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Big difference. I said it should be a forfeit.
Jeez. I mean, Dabo has pointed at Florida State for ducking Clemson now for 3 days. After the game was not played on Saturday, he said that was not a COVID cancellation. That was not a COVID cancellation. That's what he said. And now he's going to say that I didn't say they forfeited. And that's exactly what he has said and insinuated since this has happened. As I laid out, elongated yesterday, Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers thought they took every precaution. They thought they had socially distanced properly. They had traveled properly. They had added a lot of protocols to their traveling party to make sure they were doing their part. And unfortunately, they had traveled with a person that tested positive, that they got that test back after that this guy had got it on the plane. So they had felt like we did everything and we showed up at your doorstep and we're here the morning of the game. And now you say no game and you guys are a 35-point underdog or whatever it was going to be. We're frustrated. We're angry because we wanted the win and we did all our part. And we couldn't help that a guy tested positive and we got the positive test after we'd already landed. Which, okay, I get the frustration. But what I don't think was right for Dabo to completely dismiss the idea that this was a health and wellness decision and not a Florida State football decision. He immediately went to, this is a Florida State football decision. They didn't want to play us. When you have to give credence to the health and medical team saying, you guys can't play, they had a positive, we can't risk that. We don't know how many more of these guys are positive because they just traveled with a positive, which I also get. It's fine for Clemson to be frustrated that there was no game played, and I think that would have been understandable if Dabo said, hey, we're frustrated. We had a set of protocols. We followed them. We did our part, and there was no game. But to point the finger and say it's because they didn't want to play football instead of, unfortunately, the medical team decided this, that's where he loses me. Because how do we know? I mean, Dabo pointed the finger that it's not the medical team, it was a football decision. He has no idea. And Florida State saying we were willing to play you on Sunday or Monday, which suggests that they weren't trying to forfeit the game or duck the game. That's your sound check. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. And Mr. Andrew Bogish, kind sir, has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
DA, these ones are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We have our first look at the college football playoff rankings. And let me remind you that this panel had to do this in person. Everybody else, including us, can be on Zoom, but really? They still all had to go into the same room and get their snacks and make their very debatable list. We even had to get COVID-19. Yeah, I don't know, but we even had to get COVID-19 testing updates on these guys that they all checked in, cleared fine before they went into the room and made up their list of top 25. But that's a side point. The list begins with Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Three other SEC schools joined Bama in the top nine, re-cementing their preference for that conference. 9-0 BYU probably had the worst night, slotted number 14, despite, again, being 9-0. The Cougars hit hard by their low strength of schedule, and with only San Diego State left on that schedule, they don't appear to have a chance to get even close to a New Year's Six game, let alone the Final Four. Unbeaten Cincinnati is number 7, so maybe they have that chance to sneak their way into a semifinal. Minnesota can't play Wisconsin Saturday because of the virus. Those two have played 113 consecutive years, the longest uninterrupted streak in FBS history. Losing the game also means the Badgers will only have 5 games this fall, which for now makes them ineligible for the Big Ten title game.
Oh,
now, there is a formula where if the average number of games played is less than 6, they somehow then could theoretically be back and possibly in this game if it gets there. But it's way too complicated to understand the math because then you have to be within 2 games of this new average. But for now, the simple thing is for now, the Badgers can't be in the conference title game because they're only going to play 5 games this fall.
Wow, that's interesting. Because they've already canceled 3 of their games, right? They lost 2 earlier, now this one.
Right. So they couldn't play twice because of their own issues, and now this game was from the Minnesota side of things. In the Pac-12, putting Utah and Wisconsin, Washington together, that's a new game on Saturday in Seattle. The Utes were supposed to play Arizona State, but they're missing their third in a row because of COVID. The Ravens have the virus headlines in the NFL. As many as five players and four staff members have tested positive since Sunday. Tight end Mark Andrews says all they can do is work.
That's the time we're living in. You know, not being able to be on Zoom meetings and take your notes the right way and be diligent about learning the game plan, especially on a short week like this with a big game against a division rival. So we all got to be locked in, prepared, and ready to go.
The Ravens have not been on the field since Sunday, and we don't know yet their plans for today. And for now, though, the Ravens and the Steelers still happen tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, the entire Jaguars defensive coaching staff apparently sent home yesterday while contact tracing was done. In normal injury news, Chargers running back Austin Ekeler and Niners running back Raheem Mostert designated to return from IR, but it's unclear if either can play this weekend. The Miami Heat are signing Bam Adebayo to a five-year max extension. It starts at $163 million and can grow to $195 if Bam makes an All-NBA team or wins Defensive Player of the Year. But the real headline is from this is this eats up the cap space they could have used next season to sign Giannis. Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense for the Heat to do this because you're either wishing on a star next year for Giannis, or you're making sure you lock up a really good young talent that helped push you to the NBA Finals this year. I don't think they want an upset Bam Adebayo, and I don't think they want a reputation of dangling their guys who had already proven for them what they are going into next offseason. You know, how you treat your players is so huge as free agents decide if they want to play for you. So I understand why the Heat did this.
And apparently Adebayo and Giannis have the same agent. So my guess would be, if you're just connecting dots, Miami has a feel for what Giannis is going to do and realize there wasn't a reason to wait. Because if they could have given Bam this same exact deal next year after signing Giannis, then re-signing Bam as their own player would have changed the salary cap structure. But giving this to him now means it's like 13 or 14 mil less than next year. So they don't have the ability to now sign Giannis second in order, but maybe they know that that was not going to happen, so there's no need to wait.
Yeah, I got a feeling that he's going to re-sign in Milwaukee. I know that this is a great what if he goes here, what if he goes there, what if he signs here. I got a feeling that Giannis stays put and signs the Supermax.
There are college basketball games today. The first ranked team on the floor is number 4 Virginia facing Towson at Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. That's at a 1:30 Eastern tip. And two upsets in the MLS playoffs last night. Nashville took down Toronto FC 1-0. That goal coming in the second half of extra time. Then the top overall seed, the Philadelphia Union, a 2-0 home loss to New England. Seattle able to beat LAFC 3-1. DA, now back to you.
Thanks, Bogues. On that Big Ten front, Northwestern is in the driver's seat anyway to win their side of the Big Ten because they beat Wisconsin and they're still undefeated. So it would have taken Wisconsin to make up two games of the standings with just three to go. Northwestern plays unranked Michigan State, Minnesota, and Illinois to finish out their season. So unlikely Northwestern would have given up that side of the division anyway, but an interesting story nonetheless about Wisconsin being ineligible to get to a Big Ten title game. It's more than likely going to be Northwestern, Ohio State after Ohio State beat Indiana and Northwestern beat Wisconsin. It is an Ask the Pros day, so you guys send me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. When we come back, it's time for this date in mothership history. Is the Super Bowl halftime show a dinosaur movie? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
All right, let's go back 2 years ago when we were discussing a very popular topic here on the DA show, the annual Super Bowl halftime show. And once again, Mraz proved not to be the sharpest tool. Roll tape! that somehow this trickles down to like a triple A?
Not this year, it ain't.
What's this year?
Jurassic Park. What's the name of them?
Jurassic Five?
No.
Is that it? Jurassic Five?
No. Jurassic Park.
It's Jurassic Lincoln somebody.
Park?
No.
Jurassic Five can't be the lead.
Jurassic something is the halftime show. I forgot their names. Some band that everybody thinks is popular and they're not. The guy's on some of those shows that judges women. Not judges women. Judges singers.
Maroon 5?
Is it Maroon 5?
Is it oh my Adam?
Which one the Super
Did
Bowl?
You think Maroon 5 was Jurassic?
I think so.
Jurassic Park?
I guess, yeah. I was. They must do a song, Jurassic something.
Oh my God.
They like dinosaurs.
The point is, I know Lady Gaga, Madonna, you know, you name them. But this one, you don't know.
Hey, over here. Hey.
I give you Madonna,
I know
Lady
Gaga. Hey, I cook all night for my wife.
Bing, bang, and a boom,
I know Madonna, over here.
What, you want to give me Maroon 5?
Hey,
I'm just saying, it's not a big act.
Jurassic this, plesiozoic that. Hey, give me somebody I know, over here.
Oh.
Sinatra, that's a real singer. Okay, Tony Bennett. What are you giving me? Some Triceratops over here? Who is this?
Oh,
Maroon. Might as well get Red 6 over here. Maroon 5. Yeah. Blue 40. I got my cereal, artificial ingredients over here. That's who's playing my midfield break over at Super Bowl. Okay.
Oh.
Hey, over here. You do not I order.
How does that always come out to me when I get flustered?
I mean, you took that far, DA.
There is no defense of this. Mraz thought that Maroon 5 was called Jurassic Park. I don't even understand how you make that connection. Jurassic 5 was a hip-hop crew back in the early 2000s. So when Mraz was going down the Jurassic something, I knew it wasn't Jurassic 5. How he got to Jurassic something from Maroon 5 is anybody's guess. Maybe he had just seen some type of commercial for the most recent Jurassic Park movie. But, I mean, isn't that startling, Bogues, that not only Mraz would be so wrong on the guess, but that that's somehow in his brain, the mnemonic device said, that band that I've never heard of, which I can't believe he's never heard of Maroon 5, associated with Jurassic Park. How does his brain work?
Yeah, you said there's no defending it. That's one thing. There's no explaining it because there is no like two or three like layers away from Jurassic Park and Maroon 5. And I just did it again, a Google search. There's nothing to connect the two. There's no, and he doesn't know Jurassic 5, so which could theoretically be the link.
Right.
But that's not it either. And of course, it's not even just making the mistake in that he's declaring himself like a pop culture expert and a music expert, but he doesn't know at that time, arguably the like a top three band act performer in America. And Adam Levine, one of the singularly famous musicians right now, he doesn't know them. They're not big enough for Sean, who knows everything about top 100 music.
And his explanation, hey, I know Gaga. I know Madonna over
here. Like, I got Bagul.
I mean, that's your barometer. You know Gaga. You know Madonna. Okay. So you and four-year-olds, that's where your pop culture sophistication's at. By the way, it should be noted that it's just another reason Super Bowl 53 was the worst Super Bowl we've ever had. People thought I was just sour grapes because that was the Patriots, another Patriots win. It really was the worst Super Bowl ever. Remember, that was Patriots 13-3 over the Rams. That was the Punt Bowl. That was a game that was 3-3 or 6-3 for most of the game. It was just field goals. And the halftime act was Maroon 5. It had all types of misery written all over it. When we come back here on the DA Show, how about these college football playoff rankings? Did they get them right in their first edition? We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.